And you have been listening to a rendition of the hymn we're going to be taking a look at today on this Tuesday, September the 29th, in the year of our Lord, 2015. Our Father, by whose name, and being Tuesday, we have with us our good friend, the Reverend Mark Smith. What a beautiful day, isn't it?
Happy St. Michael's and All Angels Day, Tom. Or as the English used to say, Michaelmas.
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 St. Michael and all angels.
Yes.
How many angels are named in the Bible? Trick question.
Three.
Who?
Gabriel. Apollyon, who's the angel of the bottomless pit. Lucifer. And I think that's it. Isn't that it?
No.
Lucifer.
No.
Satan.
No.
Okay.
What's today?
St. Michael, of course. How could I forget St. Michael?
I don't know.
He's the archangel.
I look at you and I say, what
St. are the... St. Michael, Gabriel,
and
there's also Apollyon,
yeah, but that's
the angel
the
of bottomless pit. That's, you know, evil angel. And then you've got Lucifer and Satan.
Yes.
They're all evil. Those are evil angels.
Okay.
Now, there's Raphael, but that, I think that's the Apocrypha.
Yeah, Apocrypha's got a bunch more names. Those are the Roman Catholic books we don't consider as part of the Bible from the Old Testament series. Okay, Our Father, by whose name, and it's kind of interesting what the title of this is. Under what category is it?
Christian Home and Education.
So, why don't you go ahead and read the first stanza?
Okay. Our Father, by whose name all fatherhood is known, who dost in love proclaim each family thine own. Bless thou all parents, guarding well, with constant love as sentinel, the homes in which thy people dwell.
Yes. This is by F. Bland Tucker, well known. I never heard
is
of
he?
Him.
Is he? I've never heard of him either.
Neither
I've never heard of him. No.
Died in 1984.
Uh-huh. John Edwards gave us the tomb. Is that the same one wrote? No, that's Jonathan Edwards. Sinners in the Hands of the Angry God. Remember that?
Yeah.
Remember that sermon from history?
Now, how did you pronounce this tune?
What is it? Rosemeter? Is that how you pronounce it?
Rosemedra.
Rosemeter? Or Rosemedra?
Yeah.
I've heard of that tune before, but this is the only hymn in our hymnal
that has that tune.
And That one that we just heard does not ring a bell with me. I don't remember that melody.
Hmm.
So I'm not sure if that's the same melody or not.
So here's my big question. Are you going to use it this Sunday?
Not if it's that tune we just used.
Well, it's the only one in the hymnal.
I don't know. I don't know. It's just, I don't know. It's, hey, I may try to use it. I don't know. Maybe I might try a different
tune.
Well,
it depends what the readings are.
Right.
If they would fit.
Well, it's very much marriage and the family this Sunday.
That's pretty good. Our Father, by whose name all fatherhood is known.
Right.
What does that mean?
Our Father, by whose name all fatherhood is known. Well, I mean, he is our real father. I mean, we all have biological fathers, but he is our true father. Our Heavenly Father.
Yeah, I'm having a little trouble with all fatherhood is known.
Our Father, by whose name all... Well, we wouldn't... You know, he is the primary, the first father of us all.
Right.
We probably wouldn't even use that term if it weren't for him.
Or if it weren't for fathers, we wouldn't use the term for God.
Right.
Yeah. Remember how the Lord...
Without God, we wouldn't have fathers, of course.
You got to think about that one.
Hey, while we're on that thought...
Yes.
Isn't there a passage... I know there's a passage that... I think it's in the New Testament. Call no one your father.
Right, right.
How do the Roman Catholics get around that, you know?
In the same way they get around that Mary is sinless. They just decide it's true.
Okay.
I have no idea.
Well, I mean, that's, I should know that.
Yeah,
passage.
I was watching.
But I know it exists.
Had a lot of priests when the Pope was in town this past week. And almost all of them were referred to by the talking heads as Father.
Uh-huh, right.
Yeah, I don't... Last time I was going through Mercy Hospital, I seen a person, and I'm walking down the hallway, and a nun goes by and says, good morning, Father.
Yeah, you had your clerical on.
Yes.
Yes.
And
that
I
happens
said,
to me, too.
Would you like to see my children?
Come on, you didn't say that.
Oh, I say that all the time.
And then you walk in there with Louise, right?
Then she says, you're not Roman Catholic. I said, I'm Catholic. I'm just not Roman.
Oh, boy.
I don't fool around. This is ridiculous.
Oh, you're really something.
And we had a good conversation, you know, actually.
Uh-huh.
I corrected her on some things. We stood outside the elevator for about 10 minutes.
Uh-huh. You said, I'm Catholic, but not Roman.
No. She said, well, what are you, Lutheran? She said, oh, I took a course in Lutheranism.
Oh, yes,
and,
I bet. Yeah.
And I looked at her and I said, then why are you still Roman Catholic? Who taught it? Another priest?
Oh, boy.
We were laughing with each other by the time we're done, but... Yeah, she had respect for Martin Luther.
Did she?
What she said. Yes. But, boy, oh, boy, that was interesting. Yeah, I love going to Roman Catholic hospitals.
They do a good job running hospitals, that's for sure.
Oh, I tell you. Mm-hmm. And I feel so sorry for those nuns who aren't allowed to do adoption anymore because they won't give it to homosexual parents. Yeah.
I don't get what you're saying here.
They have an adoption agency.
Yes.
But the laws of the state is that you have to give adopted children even to homosexuals.
Yeah, but you can't. But a nun can adopt. Isn't that interesting? A nun?
Well, it doesn't matter. The point I'm making is they had to close down their adoption thing.
Oh, yes, that's right.
Yeah.
Yes.
So,
yeah, isn't that something?
It was kind of interesting in yesterday's Sunday school lesson that I did for Issues, Etc. They must have written it a few months ago because they said, at least in the United States, the government isn't hounding us down for our faith. And I made the point in the Sunday school lesson, well, talk to the lady who was just put in jail.
Yeah, right. Up there in Kentucky.
Yeah, no, the government's going to be hounding us, particularly because we're going to refuse to go against the will of God. And this is why Father is important. That was the big point that we need to make. I was questioned by a member of a congregation. They said somebody had come up to them, a friend of theirs, and said, nowhere in the Bible does Jesus say that a marriage has to be between a male and a female. And so yesterday I found a bunch of places where he not only says it in Matthew, you know, a man will leave his parents, join to his wife.
Yes.
But I also said...
Pastors have to be the husband of one wife.
Who's the author of Genesis?
God.
Yes. Moses is the writer.
Right.
So Jesus is the author of Genesis.
Exactly.
Yeah. So we can use Genesis. And I said, this is why we can use Genesis 1 to interpret Revelation 22, because it's the same author. He's got the same thoughts all the way through. So I think this could be a good hymn for a Sunday when you're stressing marriage, because you can't have a marriage without a father. By our Father, by whose name all fatherhood is known, who dost in love proclaim. Now, this next one I have problems with too. Each family thine own. Is that true?
Each family
thine is own. Every family.
Well, we're all
God's.
We're all His creation.
That's right. Very good.
In that sense,
we make a distinction between God as Creator and God as Redeemer.
Right. Well, he's redeemed all, too.
He's truly redeemed all, but not all are his children.
That's right. Not all are baptized, not all
and
believe.
See, that needs to be explained if you're talking to a child, because they'll get the impression, each family thine own. Well, do you mean my Jewish friend, his family is God's? Well, and you made a good point. As Creator, yes, but not as Redeemer.
And if they believe in Jesus, of course, they are his own.
That's right. But that's the key point.
Right.
I notice that we have a lot of metaphors for God because we can't even get in the mindset of God. Like Father is a good one. But you got to be careful because we were not begotten.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say some cultures, you know, you talk to some of these kids today who don't have much of a father or don't even know who their father was.
Right.
And then, of course, you have to ask them, well, what would you want your father to be like? You know, like your grandfather.
Yeah.
I mean, you know what I'm saying? Some kids have not a good image of their father at all.
There was a woman who was abused by her father,
right.
And she was asked, how can you begin the Lord's Prayer, Our Father who art in heaven? And her answer was, because when I say Our Father who art in heaven, I don't think about the father that I had, but the father I wish I had.
I wish I had, yeah, right.
Yeah, which I now have.
Sure.
In the Holy Trinity. But as I was saying, Father's one, but then with constant love as, and you said sentinel. What does that mean?
Sentinel is a guardian. Or,
yeah.
You know, as someone who stands guard, with constant love as our guard, as our sentinel.
Yes. And the homes in which thy people dwell. So, sentinel, I don't think, maybe on some of these games that they play on computers, they have sentinels.
Yeah, I think one of them is called that, actually.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of that. Yeah, I don't get into that very much.
Oh, yeah.
I know you spend 3-4 hours
a
day.
Oh, yeah, right.
Not doing it.
Yeah, exactly.
And the other 23 you do it.
No.
I caught you there.
You don't play those games?
Never.
Come on.
Nope, never.
I remember when they first came out with the games. Remember you had your compact computer. Don't you remember that?
No,
There was a parachute game where you shot down these guys.
Oh, I like shooting.
Remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
My favorite one is Galaxia. In fact, if I go to an airport and have to wait, I'll look for their Galaxia, where these things are coming down and you're shooting from the bottom. But my most favorite one was tennis.
Oh, that was an early one.
When I coached tennis at the seminary, I would have the guys play the game on the computer before they went out. Because at our level, tennis is a mental thing. Nobody was good enough to, you know, play McEnroe or anybody like that. But if you could mentally outthink the person, like every time I played a person who was really overweight, I knew I would win because I would lose the first set out of three, but I would lob it from corner to corner, get him running so much. He was so tired the next two sets he couldn't play. One guy actually threw his racket at me and called me a girl. But that was fun. Yeah,
those were the days.
Oh, those were the days. Yes. I'll read stanza 2. O Christ, thyself a child within an earthly home, with heart still undefiled, thou didst to manhood come. Our children bless in every place, that they may all behold thy face, and knowing thee may grow in grace. So, do you notice that this hymn is Trinitarian? The first verse is,
yeah,
to the...
It sure is. It sure is. First one talks about our Father, second one, Christ, thyself a child, and then the third one, O Spirit, who dost bind. So it is Trinitarian.
One of the few Trinitarian hymns where there's no triangle.
Right. That's right.
Yeah, because where do they put a triangle?
Well, they usually put that at a doxological verse where all persons of the Godhead are mentioned.
That's right.
The whole thing is Trinitarian.
So the Father, primarily as creator, the Son, is there any redemption language here in stanza 2?
O Christ, thyself a child within an earthly home, with heart still undefiled, thou didst to manhood come. Well, why, of course, did he come to manhood but to suffer and die and atone for all our sins? Our children bless in every place that they may... In other words, we ask his blessing, all the children, bless in every place, all the children of the world, for that matter, that they may all behold thy face, that they may all be led to Christ.
Right.
And knowing thee may grow in grace.
I think the key phrase for me to show that he's just not a normal human being, with heart still undefiled.
Yes.
So he was not born with original sin.
Not even a sinful thought.
No.
You know, not even a sinful thought protruding out of his heart.
You know, I've never understood the Immaculate Conception of the Virgin Mary, because that doesn't refer to Jesus.
No, I know. It's talking about Mary being conceived.
And
that's little known. I think a lot of people, when they think Immaculate Conception Church, they think, well, that's got to be talking about Jesus' conception. And it's not. It's talking about Mary's conception in the womb of Anna, her mother.
Now, that leads to an important point, is that Mary's parents were both sinners, and yet she was sinless, according to Roman Catholic theology. Right. Jesus was by the Holy Spirit, and sinless Mary, according to Roman Catholic theology. Therefore, who has the greater miracle in the birth? Would it be Mary?
If
the Roman Catholics were right.
If you believe according to the Roman Catholic teaching.
No big deal about Jesus. He came from two sinless individuals.
Right.
But Mary came from two sinful. I actually did a paper when I was at Concordia College, Milwaukee. There was a group of people who believed there was a sinless strain from Noah leading up to Mary.
No kidding.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the Roman Catholic Church never taught that, but, you know, among pious opinion. I put that at the same level when I went to the Roman Catholic Church with my grandmother, who was Roman Catholic. They would hand out little cards about how many years you could get out of purgatory, depending on how much you paid for the Mass and this kind of thing. None of that is part of official Roman Catholic theology, but it was the piety of the people. So we have, under this Christian home and education, the Father is the first stanza, Jesus is the second. So read the third stanza.
O Spirit, who dost bind our hearts in unity, who teachest us to find the love from self set free. In all our hearts such love increase, that every home by this release may be the dwelling place of peace.
You had trouble reading the King James English, don't you?
A little bit. My tongue got a little...
I found in this hymn, though, they were really updating all the language, but this is definitely King James. Help me to understand, O Spirit, who dost bind our hearts in unity. Bind. Why that word?
I'm reminded of the other hymn. What's that one hymn that...
You were reminded of it, not me. I can't think of it.
Oh... Can't think of it now, but it goes something like, who binds our heart.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, Spirit.
Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love.
Yes.
The fellowship of kindred minds is like to that above. That's what I'm thinking of.
So the word bind, therefore, means what?
Well,
we're on the radio.
Tie us together. Tie us together.
Nobody can see your
arms. I'm giving
you
the answer.
Oh, yes. Thank you.
I have to use gestures here, Tom.
Yes. Excellent.
It's the way I'm put together.
Oh, Spirit, who does bind? Yeah, I really think you're correct there. Who ties us together, our hearts in unity. And how does he do that? This is really interesting. Who teaches us to find what is the main cause of sin? It's on the next line.
In all our hearts, such love increase.
No, before that.
The love from self set free.
Is that not the main cause of sin?
Yes, of course. We like to think of ourselves as, we like
exactly.
to make ourselves like God.
What's at the center of sin?
I.
What's at the center of pride?
I.
Yes. Well, what's at the center of supercalifragilisticexpialidocious? I said that at a seminar, and all of a sudden I saw a girl start writing it out and counting the letters. And guess what letter is?
What is it?
None of them.
None of them?
Why?
It doesn't have a middle? Well, it's not a true word.
Yes, it is. Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
Is that a true word?
Oh, yeah. You can look it up in the dictionary.
How about anti-disintent?
Well, no. Let's stick with super.
Okay.
Why is there no middle letter?
I don't know, Tom. Come on. Tell me the answer, oh great one.
It's an even number of letters.
Oh, I see. Oh.
To have a middle letter, you have to have an odd number of letters in a word, like pride or sin. So
You stumped me this morning.
Oh, yes. Stump. All right. But that is really critical. All the problems we're having in the world and in the country today with morality, they say, well, we love each other, or they do all this kind of nonsense. This is a love of self. This is concupiscence. Can you explain what concupiscence is?
Love
of the flesh.
Love of the flesh, okay.
Yeah. A desire, erotic desire.
Uh-huh.
And so when I hear somebody says, I love, and I say, who are you talking about? And if it's a man talking about another man, I'm saying, no, you mean you erotically love him. Yeah. You don't agape.
Desire.
Yeah, there's a sinful desire there. And I really believe that because today's view of love is a good feeling towards somebody, that's why we have so many marriages breaking up. Because that feeling doesn't last. You get a lot of arguments going. And how many times have I heard somebody who had a divorce say, well, I didn't love him anymore.
Or they fell out of love.
Yeah, they fell out of love.
Fell out of love.
Yeah. And that shows they have no understanding, because love is not an emotion.
Right.
It's an attitude.
That's right.
When you get married, for better or for worse. I heard of one gentleman who divorced his wife. And that was a tough one. They lived in Florida, and she had to be on a lung machine.
Uh-huh.
But they wouldn't put her on if the family made more than $25,000 a year. And he was making around $40,000 a year, but it costs over $100,000 for the lung machine.
Oh, boy.
So what he did, he divorced her. So now she was without any money at all,
and she
could go on. That is
a tough one.
That is a real tough one.
How would you deal with that pastorally?
It's too bad we don't have a fourth verse here.
You don't know what you'd do.
No, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, you're not supposed to divorce. Boy. But your wife will die if she can't get on that machine. And this is why I said it's much more difficult being a government official than it is a pastor. Most of our stuff is black and white. If it's in the Bible, that's the way it is. If it's not in the Bible, well, you can have other options. But in regard to being a politician, boy, oh boy, you know, how much you charge in taxes and all kinds of things. How many licenses do you need to run a business? Every state is different. And that's always difficult. So, Our Father by whose name, do you have any other comments
on
this?
Well, how about that, almost the last line, that every home by this release, do you understand what it's saying there? That every home by this release, in all our hearts such love increase, that every home by this release what?
From the previous line.
Is it from sin set free? The love of self set free?
Free.
I gotcha. The love from self set free.
That means
that
you get
every
released.
Home by this release.
Yeah.
Release from that selfish love.
Yes, yes. And the way that happens, it never really gets released, but through faith in Jesus. Tomorrow on Law and Gospel Insight. 11 o'clock today, Emmanuel Olivet on Parables.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email lawandgospel@lawandgospel101.com. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.